between the three first basemen, it was Johnny Mize, Johnny Hop, and Joe Collins. And I think between them, they hit around 40 home runs, drove in 100 runs. And, none of them played more than 50 games, you know, 154-game schedule. But and he could run. He really was a terrific runner and base stealer. But one time he got a pulled muscle, and Casey wanted to use him for a pinch runner, and he said, "I got a bad leg." And Casey said to him, "We brought you over here so you can steal a few bases, and now you got a bad leg?"
Johnny Hop, nice left-handed hitter. All right, let's go to a pitcher, Vic Rashi. Now, he was one of the big three with Reynolds, Lopat, and Rashi. Tell me about him as a pitcher, but then he got traded to the Cardinals in 1954. Why did the Yankees let him go? Let's start with that.
Well, the reason they let him go, he had had an operation on his knee, and he had come to spring training and the year before that, and he wasn't very effective, and he tried to lose some weight so he wouldn't put much pressure on his knee, but I think it was more or less that he was holding out because he didn't have a real good year in 52. But Rashi was more or less the guy that would take the ball. And down the stretch, I think in 49, when we won the pennant for the first of five, he would pitch on 3 days rest. And he pitched that last 2 weeks on three or four games on 3 days rest. So you gave him the ball. He was the guy that would go out there and do the job for you. And on game day, he was the meanest son of a gun you ever saw. But you could walk up to him, slap him on the face, he'd laugh at you. And I had played with him in the minor leagues. And he was very superstitious. He always had to sit on the same place on the bench between innings. And I'm catching him one day at the stadium. And I go down to the water cooler, and he's behind me. So I go back and sit down, and I sit in his spot. And he came back from the water cooler. He says, "Get your ass out of here." And he tells Yogi, he says, "Give me the goddamn ball, you little dingo. You don't know anything."
Well, Vic Rashi was the third of the big three. Reynolds threw hard. Lopat had the changeups. What did Rashi throw?
Rashi was primarily a fastball pitcher. He was a long armer. In those days, you can get the high strike, and Rashi used that, and especially in Yankee Stadium with the big field there. And he had a little bit of a slider and a changeup, but he was durable, you know, and he got the weak hitters out.
All right, Tom Morgan. They called him the Plowboy. He was a big-shouldered guy, kind of relief pitcher, hard thrower, right, Tom Morgan?
Well, he was he relieved and started, and he was a sinker baller and with a good sinker ball, and he also had a good curveball, which I found was unusual for a sinker ball pitcher to have much of a curveball, because the arm action is altogether different. But he was there, and he was available, and he could pitch often. So he would relieve. In those days, you had a lot of doubleheaders, so he would be like your fifth starter.
Why'd they call him the Plowboy?
Because he was, it looked like he was behind a mule plowing in the field, because he had a long, lumbering gait when he walked.
Boy, that is baseball with Charlie Silvera. All right, Jackie Jensen. Now, of course, the Golden Boy from the University of California, Washington Senator, New York Yankee, the Porterfield trade and all that. But what was Jackie Jensen like as an opponent and as a Yankee?
Jackie Jensen was a very dear friend of mine, because we were married pretty much at the same time, and our youngest daughter grew up together, and we used to babysit for Jackie if they wanted to go out, and if Rose and I wanted to go out, they'd babysit for us. So we got to be very friendly, and Jackie ended up at the University of Nevada as a baseball coach, and I'd go up there and spend a few times with him, and he had a sort of a quirky career, great ability, played in the Rose Bowl. In fact, he got thrown out a couple of times in Boston, going from first to second, got thrown out. Going from second to third, got thrown out. And Casey says, "This guy still thinks he's running in the Rose Bowl."
I assure you.
Very good. He didn't like to fly either. I remember that.
I wanted to tell you about a pitcher I played with. His name was Joe Ostrowski. We got him from the St. Louis Browns, Tom Ferrick and Joe Ostrowski. Now, Joe was his teacher during the offseason, and he was also a piano player. Well, Joe hung around for 2 or 3 years getting the World Series check. Then finally, in one year, he held out. And, of course, when he held out, Mr. Weiss, the general manager, didn't like that very well. So we had a team meeting one time before, and he says, as usual, there were a lot of guys not there from the year before. And he says, how about that, Ostrowski? The only reason I kept him around was to play the piano at our celebrations.
George Weiss.
True story.
All these are true stories of Charlie Silvera.
What's about what?
Well, all right, let's go to the Cleveland Indians, some of the opponents. Wynn, Lemon, Garcia, and Feller, Houdeman, and Newhouser. Boy, what a staff.
I know, and I always made sure that Yogi was in good shape when we got there. And I'd go back and forth with him to the ballpark, which we did in every town, Joe Collins and I and Yogi. And I said, please, don't get hurt with this staff. Come on, you don't want to have me play, do you?
What was it about Lemon and Garcia? What was special about them?
Lemon was another one of those pitchers that had a great sinker and a great curveball. And he was good from both sides of the plate. And he was always down. And he was a competitor and a good hitter. He opened a 46 season as a center fielder with Cleveland. Wynn was a competitor, you know. He'd knock you on your fanny as quick as you got up there. In fact, he's probably the only pitcher that knocked me down in the big league because, hit me, we get the big guys up there if you hit me. But he just tested you, and he let the other pitchers know if they can, you know, could come close. And Feller, of course, he had lost a little bit, but he still had the great curveball. Newhouser, I had hit against him when he was at Detroit, when he still had it occasionally. And those were great experiences. Then he ended up being a junk baller, but he knew how to pitch. We got one more. Who was that?
Mike Garcia,
the big bear. Yes, real hard sinker. Hard. I mean, he'd bust your thumb. And I didn't get to, of course, you know, when we played them, I only hit maybe against Garcia once in my career. Feller a few times, Wynn a couple of times. That's about it.
How good was Whitey Ford in 1950 when he came up? He won his first 9 decisions for the Yankees, but how good was Ford then? I mean, you saw Ford when he got really good, but how good was he when he came up?
When Whitey came up, they still had the high strike zone. And he could pitch. He has short arms, and he was a short arm with his fastball, but that made it all the better. And he had a great curveball, and he had to abandon the curveball later on when they lowered the strike zone, and he went to the slider. And later on in his career, he went to a few dubious other pitches after I had left. But he was a competitor and a good hitter. In fact, he hit his way out of a ball game in Washington one day when I was catching him. He had 3 hits, and it was a hot day. And Casey says, now you're going to hit in this inning. Just stand up there and take a 3rd strike. No, Whitey got his 4th hit. But he had to run the bases, and he had to take him out. He couldn't finish the 9th. Great competitor.
All right, let's talk about Bobby Avila. He won a batting title for the Cleveland Indians. What kind of second baseman was he? What kind of hitter?
Bobby Avila had the year of years when he won the batting title. And he was a good hitter. And could hit and run, outstanding second baseman. In fact, remember one time at Yankee Stadium, Allie Reynolds started the game. We got 8 runs off early Wynn, and I was catching that day, and we knocked him out of the box. I was the one that hit a single and drove in 2 runs, and he never got out of the first inning. Well, we had about 8 or 9 run lead, and Allie at that time is not too responsible, and he would fool around walking hitters, and finally had to take him out. Same came in, and in the top of the 9th, Bobby Avila hit a home run with 2 men on. They beat us 10-9.
Charlie, Charlie, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by. It's great to talk ball with you. We got more parks to cover, and it just brings back some wonderful memories. You're a great part of baseball history.
Well, you know, that coming here and talking to you, I know you enjoy it. You're a baseball fan. I am, too. And, this is my 69th year in the game. Jerry Coleman and I broke in 1942. Jerry went to Lowell. I went to SI. Bobby Brown was at Galileo. Dino Ristrelli was at Galileo. And Jim Davis was at Poly. So there's five fellas that made the major league. But it's great to talk about the days with the Yankees and bring back a few great memories. And you revive them. Thank you.
All right, that's Charlie Silvera. We'll be back with more on The Sports Leader.